Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Oh, welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report, the first weekend edition of 2019. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for the first hour. In the first hour, we are going to focus quite a bit on the metals, mostly the precious metals sector, and some of the stocks underlying this sector, because, quite frankly, it is one of the few sectors that is performing very well and performed well at the end of the year, even though it was generally a rough year for precious metals. The tail end of the year really did start to switch a lot of sentiment back towards the metals. I am kicking off this year's first show with Richard Postma, aka Doc. And Doc, let's start talking about the gold chart and the precious metal stocks or gold stocks in general. The argument still can be made that gold is performing better than a lot of the stocks. Yes, there are some stocks that are outperforming everything, but this isn't a broad-based recovery where the stocks are greatly outperforming the underlying gold price. What do you have to say about this environment?
Yeah, it's not a good environment, Corey, but the positives on it are that gold has broken through some resistance again, and that's a positive. But as you mentioned, and we mentioned off mic too, I mentioned to you that I'm concerned partly because the stocks just have not signaled that this is a move that you should get too excited about yet. But it's good from the standpoint that gold, when it moved down into August and September of last year, the move down was not as far as it was, of course, in December of 2016. And that's a good sign. So we got a higher low again. But it's not a move that's very strong, in my opinion, because a lot of the stocks are revealing that. And so it's a suspect move. But it is encouraging because, once again, gold did not break out of its monthly channel, which I was really concerned a number of months ago. And I had mentioned that if that happened, we are going to be longer in this down market than I even anticipated. So that's the good sign is the movement of gold, in spite of the fact that the stocks have not really kept pace, in my opinion.
All right, Doc, let's look at the gold chart on a monthly basis. And one key distinction that happened last week when we closed the month was the fact that gold managed to close above the 50-month moving average, that moving average sitting at about 1235. This is the first time that it closed above this moving average as this moving average is starting to turn up. This is overall quite a bullish sign.
Yes, it is, and we talked about that off mic. We moved down below that 50 or that simple 50-month moving average way back in 2016. Then we worked our way back above it for about a year, and then we moved back below it the second half of last year, but just a little bit. Now we're right back above it, and to me, that is very encouraging. And the other thing I like about that is that both the simple moving average, 50-month simple moving average, and exponential moving averages are sideways. And in fact, the simple moving average looks like it wants to move up a little bit. And they're sideways and horizontal to another very important moving average, and that's the 200 moving average, the 200-month moving average, which continues to make its way higher over time. And to me, that fact and the fact that it's trading in this sideways motion within this band, the Bollinger Bands, to me that's a real positive. And I think I wouldn't be surprised to see these Bollinger Bands start to tighten over the next few months. And that then will tell us that we're due to make a run one way or another, and I would bet it'd be up.
Okay, let's switch it over to the monthly silver chart now, because in the last month, silver has started to perform quite nicely. You look at a longer-term chart, still very much scraping the bottom, but for all of those that understand that silver does outperform gold in better or true bull markets, this can be potentially a short-term sign of what could be to come. What is your focus for silver, trying to balance out some of the recent excitement, but understanding this chart still is a lot of work to do?
This chart does, and the thing that really I did not like to see was in the second half of last year and the first part of it. Silver broke down through the lower Bollinger band, but more importantly, it broke its 200-month moving average, and I did not like to see that. But the encouraging thing is the fact that if you go back 2.5 years to the middle of 2016, what I find very interesting on the silver chart is the fact that we did not have a close above a declining 50-month simple moving average for all that period of time of almost 30 months. The silver kept bumping its head up against that simple moving average, but just could not close above it. And we're getting very close to it again. Silver is starting to bump its head again. And I wouldn't be surprised if we turn down again in silver. But it's not going to be a big turning down, because we're currently in a trading range for silver that's banded by the Bollinger bands on the monthly chart. And I think that's going to hold. But once we see silver move up over that 50-month moving average and hold for a couple of months, I think it's going to be game on. So it's going to take time, and I think it's going to happen, but we're going to have to be patient yet. This move is not the big move yet, Corey.
Okay, but still some signs that we're at least showing some stability, and these markets are not further breaking down. They're actually, as I said on the onset, showing some recent strength. Doc, I want to talk about that strength, though, because it has been happening without a whole lot of force behind it. Even though we're seeing volatility across the board in a number of different markets, the precious metals, especially gold, have been really, they lack any sort of volatility. It's been a grinding motion higher. I think that's great, but the fact of the matter is there isn't a whole lot of force behind it, which sucks other investors in. What's your concept on how this move has been a bit slower to the upside?
I think this move is slower to the upside by the stocks because it's telling us that this move is not a significant move. The good news is when gold pulls back here and silver pulls back again, which it will, I don't see these stocks really getting hit that hard. I think we're at the bottom of these markets as far as the precious metal stocks. Going into 2019, and I think 2019 is going to be a phenomenal year for accumulation of these stocks. And so it doesn't worry me that the stocks have not really shown a lot of impetus to them. But the one thing you will see, I think, in 2019 is you're going to see a lot of Bollinger bands tightening on the longer term charts. And every once in a while, you're going to get a stock that makes a run now. I think periodically, you're going to see that. So if you have multiple positions, you're going to watch with interest as every once in a while, one of them will break out, move higher, but then you're going to have to understand in all likelihood, it's just a perfunctory move before the big one that's down the road.
So it sounds like overall you're seeing downside as limited in these stocks. However, don't expect some sort of a skyrocketing move to come early on this year. We can stick to our time frame of maybe later on this year, but there's so much at play here. And still, I think the precious metals, although they're getting some money, people are so focused on other markets right now. Doc, great chatting with you. Always great having you on the show, but thanks for kicking off the new year on the KE Report and our weekend show.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout. Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back to the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed my initial call there with Richard Postma, focused a lot on the metals complex. In this segment, we're going to shift focus a little bit to more U.S. equity markets with Dana Lyons. Dana is a fund manager based out of Chicago, comes on the show every 2 weeks. And Dana, last time I had you on the show, you mentioned how you were reading off of a bear market playbook and reallocating your portfolio as well as your clients' portfolios to hopefully take advantage of some more bear market action. Where do we stand now with volatility remaining high and, quite frankly, the market's still in this downtrend?
Yeah, it certainly is. Prior to that, our previous conversation, we'd been more on a what we called our correction roadmap and following the typical template for a correction. We tweaked that vernacular to where we're considering this last quarter to be the first leg down in a more serious bear market. So just to clarify what we're thinking about this recent sell-off and the greater context of it going forward. So we think it's the first leg down in a more serious bear market. So that just clarifies our description of it and certainly our, as you said, our playbook for how we're going to invest within such an environment.
Now, what about the sectors that are leading this move down? The argument can be made that it was those sectors or those high-flying stocks that were leading the move up. And just this week, we got more news out of Apple to tell us to expect weaker sales out of China that pushed their stock lower. How important is it to see these high-flying stocks now becoming the ones leading to the downside?
I think those stocks just have maybe a little bit more risk entrenched in them, you know, just the fact that they've run so far and there's, you know, more, obviously a lot more money allocated to them, whether it's, you know, through fund managers, mutual funds, that type of thing. So when you see a market screaming higher, especially a sector screaming higher for years, you know, those index players, the passive players, they have to be involved in that. So you saw a huge rush into those types of stocks. So that just indicates a lot of money that could potentially come out of those stocks, and we've been seeing that. So I think in the context of a bear market, a legitimate cyclical longer-term bear market, no area is necessarily safe. Sure, there's more money. Pent up in those high flyers, the FANG type stocks, and for example, utilities or energy right now that has been pretty much decimated, energy that is. So perhaps there's more risk inherent in those former high flyers, but at the same time, in a more serious bear market, really at the end of the day, there are no areas that are really safe.
So what about the move to some of these more safety assets? I do agree with you in the sense that if we do get that waterfall decline, then everything across the board, whatever is liquid, does get sold. That happens time and time again. But until we get to maybe that waterfall decline, are there any of these safer assets where money has been flowing into that you see as an opportunity, at least in the short term?
Well, I thought that might be the case into December with, you know, utilities holding up well, healthcare holding up well, pharmaceuticals, and we got the Johnson & Johnson news that pulled the rug out from under healthcare You got the late December sell-off where you, as you mentioned, anything that's liquid in such a waterfall decline, they're going to start selling anything either whether by force or by choice. They're going to sell anything they have left, either with gains or anything that that can be sold. They're gonna throw out the baby with the bathwater, and that's what we saw at the end of December in that waterfall washout type of move, where they took the former relative strength leaders like healthcare and utilities, took them apart, and staples along with the rest of the market, and the REITs, throw those in there as well. They took those apart. So I don't see right now, I don't see anything from a relative strength standpoint that's compelling enough to say, oh yeah, I'm going to stick, we're going to stick money there and just ride it out and stick it out and it should be okay. I don't necessarily see any area of the market that's necessarily worthy of such a designation or allocation right now. Yeah, the gold stocks have been hanging in there nicely, but that is, for us, that's never a buy and hold area either. So even if precious metals do well, at the end of the day, those are still stocks. And if the market, if the equity market in general gets taken out, those stocks will too. So at this point in a bad bear market, there's no such thing as a buy and hold, or relative strength is less important in that type of an environment to us.
All right, let's talk about currencies now, because the U.S. dollar had a very good year. 2018 climbed higher, and for the last month, it has been generally rolling over, but in no way breaking down. We're still well above that recent low that was put in at 23.39. However, I'm hearing still a lot of negativity around the dollar for a number of different reasons. What do you have to say? What are your thoughts on the U.S. dollar?
We see it in the short term, we see it in a range, you know, between, talking about the dollar index between 96 and 98. We're seeing that 96 area get tested now. So if that goes, if that falls, then we've got immediate downside to about 94. In that scenario, you could see a further boost to precious metals. You could see a pop in emerging markets as long as the equity market continues the short-term bounce that we've been on. You'd see, obviously, other currencies do well in that environment. Euro, as long as it holds recent support. You've seen the yen taking off to the upside. So maybe that's forecasting a little bit of a dollar breakdown here in the short term. But in the near term, it's been pretty much range bound. I think we have, in terms of sentiment, you always hear people get all worked up about the dollar. Either they're super bullish or super bearish on it. If you look at, you know, investment allocations, you've seen hedge funds extremely bullish on it. So from that standpoint, that concerns me a little bit. If the dollar does start weakening a little bit further, you could see the air come out of that allocation. So that could be a little bit of a headwind if prices start moving lower.
All right. Hey, Dana, great having you on the show. I do appreciate all of your comments and how you have laid out where you potentially see these markets going. And overall, the news does not look very promising. A lot of our listeners will agree with you. But remember, nothing is a straight line move, or at least it usually isn't. Dana, thanks for joining us this weekend show. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed my first two segments where we talked about the precious metals and then moved into the U.S. equity markets. In this segment, we are circling back around to the precious metals with a good friend of the show, George Jarrow, Managing Director at RBC Wealth Management. George, let's start off with a precious metal that isn't discussed nearly as much as gold or silver. However, it had the best year out of the precious metals last year. That's palladium, up 18% in 2018. Can you break down what you think is driving that move, or what did drive that move?
Yes, and I thank you for having me on the show. Palladium actually is up a lot more than the 18% this year. Since the year 16, I think it's up maybe 45% or so. And I believe that there's a good reason why palladium is up. Number one, the palladium is mainly used by the automobile industry now and as a catalyst, and a lot of other people have not learned recently that platinum and palladium are catalysts that crack crude oil into heating oil and gasoline. So there are more uses for palladium, especially now that there's a bigger demand for battery-powered cars. There's more demand in general for palladium in the last couple of years. But one of the reasons why the price has moved up sharply is because palladium is mined in South Africa and elsewhere in a form and delivered called sponge, which sponge is actually a sealed can of palladium grains. While it's well accepted in the industry, it is not well accepted and it is not a deliverable in exchange traded contracts or futures exchanges, so that the open interest in the palladium market in our futures is now only 27,238. It's been steady around that level, which isn't much for the amount of palladium that seems to be needed by the industry. And so palladium grains have to be turned into deliverable bars by various refiners, recyclers, and so on. And there is a procedure, time, and expense. And so palladium sometimes will have a sharper up move than, say, platinum. Platinum, by the way, is also helped by gold's strength, but the fundamentals are mostly looked at as a catalytic converter for the automobile industry, and very few people think about it as being used by the energy industry to crack crude oil into gas and heat. And so palladium and, of course, platinum have been becoming more interesting to a lot of investors who take a deep look at what the metals are doing.
Yeah, they really have. Plus all those investors that are waiting and watching for certain metals to break out. That's all that that palladium has done recently. Can you quickly just address, though, as you said, a lot of the use is for energy and in automobiles. Both of these sectors, outside of natural gas in the energy sector, continue to struggle. So what's going on here? Why is palladium still outperforming?
Well, because palladium is in short supply at the exchanges, but the higher the price goes, and here we are, palladium today is $1,200, almost as high as gold. I mean, the platinum palladium is at a $400 premium, where palladium is at a premium over platinum. Gold platinum has now come back to 420 points, down from 458. And the gold silver ratio is now 81.50, down from 86.20 at its high last year, and it is still high. And so all these metals are starting to become very interesting to the industry and for people looking for alternate investments. And I think speaking of alternate investments, not today because of the surge in the stock market and the little better U.S. dollar. Gold, of course, is pulled back. There were three Fed speakers today. Powell was a little bit more dovish than usual, but still gold did pull back. But we're looking ahead for gold this coming year to be 1300 and maybe even 1350 later in the year, because gold is starting on a positive way, recovered a lot of the losses from the second half of 2018. If you recall, gold was not needed as a hedge this past year because the stock market did so well and because of the strength of the U.S. dollar. Now, in the last week or so, the dollar has been following the benign U.S. 10-year, which is at 2.65%, roughly 2.6%, down from the 3.2%. And, of course, with this big slump in the stock market, people taking money out of stocks, the international investors did not need to buy dollars in order to invest in the U.S. But, of course, if the dollar improves, gold is going to lag. But we believe going forward that gold is going to have a much better year next year.
Okay, very encouraging, and you're absolutely right. 6 months ago, the environment around the gold sector was very different. Over the last just couple of months, a lot of attitudes have changed more favorably towards the precious metals, a lot due to slowdown in economies and, more importantly, struggles in U.S. equity markets. But George, your target there of 1300 to 1350, that's not screaming higher from where we currently are. It almost sounds like you're expecting kind of a choppy but still upward bias move throughout this year.
Yes, I do, because don't forget gold prices are really a barometer of the economic and political well-being of our times. And so I think that we're going to continue to have choppy markets all around as people try to make sense out of whether the U.S. economy, after today's very good jobs numbers, is going to continue with strength, whether the rest of the world, which seems to be in an economic slowdown, especially China, is going to need more inflationary items, whether we will have large infrastructure building. And of course, our trillions in debt are worrying a lot of other people. And then, of course, in Europe, there are major worries about Brexit and the impact that will have on their stock markets. And so there's enough of a bunch of worries on every investor's plate to want to own gold as a hedge.
Yeah, it really talks to this whole process of where investors slowly switch to where they're a bit more protected in their portfolios. But George, what do you think it would take to truly get the gold price screaming higher? There's a number of different scenarios we could look at, one being a major breakdown in the U.S. markets, another being the Fed truly switching course and starting to print money again, another being inflation coming back into the picture. Where do you think the sweet spot would be?
Well, I think that with the change in politics in the U.S., you could see more money printing, and you could see more deficits, and you could see more government spending. And so I think that going forward, there's enough for investors to ponder. And then, of course, in many countries, gold with impaired currencies is going to be in demand.
Okay, now let's quickly look to the silver market. Silver, at least recently, has finally started to outperform gold. Look, even yesterday on Friday when we are recording this, silver pretty much flat while gold got beat up just a little bit, though nothing too severe. Do you think silver is in for even a bigger year than gold?
I believe so. Poor man's gold, silver, is benefiting after a bunch of underperforming times. And I think silver can do a lot better with gold moving back up. And I believe that silver will be needed by industry for electronics, LCDs, computers, medical needs. And so silver will have demand and disappearance, and the possibility of silver extending its volatility along with gold can make it actually outperform gold.
Okay. Hey, interesting comments there, George. And it does look like a better picture for the precious metals, especially gold and silver in 2019. But some of those targets you shared with us, I think, are very important to note, that it most likely won't just be a skyrocketing year, but this general shift and more positivity coming back into the precious metals. That's what we need, at least right now.
Absolutely. And thank you very much for having me on the show.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. We are going to be chatting more resources and diving more into the resource stocks with David Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. David, one thing that I have been chatting about this week and throughout the weekend show is the resource sector and how it is seeming to be one of the few sectors that is getting any sort of money flowing into it. We have seen some stocks perform pretty well, but still, as I sit back and I look across a portfolio of companies, both large, the whole way down to small, I'm not seeing this broad-based recovery, and I still have a little bit of uneasiness. Now, I know some people can say that's perfect. That's what a bear market does to you, and when it turns, a lot of people still are uneasy, but share with me some of the factors that you're watching that either have you more bullish or also have you a little bit skeptical of just how much longer this can run.
Sure, Corey. A couple weeks ago, I put out my last weekly op-ed at Kitco, and the title was simply Junior Gold Stocks Are the Best Deep Value Play for 2019. And as we get into the new year here, that's already proving correct. I'm seeing a lot of these juniors start to pop one by one. But like you said, you know, there's not a broad-based buying base coming in yet. I think a lot of these big money traders and fund managers, they're still on vacation. You know, they're not going to be back to their desk until next Monday. And also, you know, all this tax loss selling has wrapped up, and a lot of the sellers have gone. So like I said, you are seeing a lot of these juniors pop one by one. And the most encouraging things I'm seeing is, one, the juniors are starting to lead, and silver is starting to lead. The gold-silver ratio is down to around 80 now. And below 80, it really starts to get interesting, because that's pretty much where it kind of broke down. Really started to rise. It got up to around 86, 87 to 1. And that's usually where a bottom is seen in the sector, when you see a gold-silver ratio up at that level. So the silver market joining the party and the juniors joining the party here is very bullish here for the short to medium term.
So do you think something that we've been talking about for U.S. equities, too, is that traders are going to get more selective? It's even something we saw when U.S. markets were heading higher to all-time highs. They were being led by fewer and fewer names. Do you think that could be the new environment that we're in for the metal stocks, is that we don't see these broad-based recoveries? It is just a handful or maybe a dozen stocks leading us higher?
I do. The quality is starting to bifurcate, and I don't think we're going to have that dart throwers move that I call it, that you pretty much put a list of juniors on a dartboard and throw a dart and you can make money. That won't happen until the GDX gets above 25. That's where really long-term resistance is on that index. And we closed the year over 21, which is very bullish, and we closed the year in gold over 1280. Gold was only down less than 2% for the year, but you wouldn't know when you look at a lot of these juniors.
That's a very good point, because you do go back to the beginning of 2018, and what we're seeing is the market for GDX opened at about 23.34, closed the year right around 21. So it was still a down year, but when you consider how much pessimism there was about three quarters of the way through the year, it changed all very, very quickly. What do you think about that? Is that healthy as quickly as that sentiment changed? And we're still not getting a breakout, but we are trending higher.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's climbing a wall of worry, which is good. You know, you're seeing a U-shaped bottom as opposed to the usual V-shaped bottom you see when gold and gold stocks get that oversold. So I think it's good that it's happening that way. It's making it a stronger bottom here. But, you know, in the short term, gold is getting overbought. So I would expect a pullback once it gets to the 1300, 1310 region, which is, looks like it's heading there, which is very strong resistance. So I'm looking forward to see what's going to happen next week when all these big money traders and these fund managers get back to their desks, and gold just might be at 1300, 1310. The non-farm payrolls release is tomorrow, and that's going to be closely looked at because that's the first NFP report out since the Fed got a bit dovish in their last meeting.
You are right, David, that this recovery in gold so far has been very U-shaped. All you need to do is take a look at that weekly chart and see that when that drop started in about mid-April, it took so long to reach the bottom, over 5 months, that now as we're climbing out of it, and it has still continued to be a slow climb out, seems like just a couple dollars every day. This is this U-shape, which is very different than sometimes just how bullish these sectors can get, but it also can be more healthy. Let's also talk about how the U.S. dollar is playing a role in potentially making this recovery a bit slower and even the drop a bit slower, because the dollar has been moving higher throughout this year, but continues to do this in almost a stair-stepping pattern. The argument now is that the dollar is rolling over, albeit still at the higher part of this recent trading range. What are some of your comments, please?
Well, I think the dollar still holding up here is, it has yet to really break down. But gold has been rising despite the dollar rising back on Thursday. It had a really strong move, and gold pretty much yawned at it. So I think if the dollar continues to roll over, that will be more bullish for the precious metals, and maybe it could get it back above that 1300, 1310 level. And if it does, I think that's when you're really going to start to see the shares take off.
Yeah, right now it seems like gold and the dollar have no correlation whatsoever, whether inverse or positively. The dollar seems to be doing a more volatile move while gold just continues to trend higher. You shared with us the gold numbers of about 1300 to 1310. We're almost right there at 1300 as we're recording this. What happens if we break through that? Does that turn ultra bullish? Or on the flip side, if we do turn around at that level, could that also be considered just another disappointment for the gold bulls that want the price to consistently be moving higher?
Well, I think you're going to need to see a weekly close above that level for starters. But the number I'm really looking at is 1362 for a monthly basis close. If that happens, then that technically solidifies a bottom in gold. It would technically solidify a 6-year bottom in the gold price. That would be huge. That's what we're all looking for, and I don't think it's going to happen on this run. I don't think it has a chance to happen until maybe late Q1 or Q2.
Okay, but hey, that's even an earlier time frame than we had just a few months ago. We were looking more into the later part of 2019. It's funny how quickly everything can change. What about the potential of a further U.S. market breakdown, though? We have seen strength right now, I think, a lot in gold because of the volatility and the breakdown that we have already seen in U.S. markets. But if it turns into a full-on waterfall decline, the question everyone has to ask is gold going to be immune to that? And even more importantly, for people like us, are the gold stocks going to be immune to that?
Well, they have been so far, and the U.S. equities got really oversold a few weeks ago, and now we're seeing a snapback rally of that extreme oversold situation. But I'm expecting the Trump rally to be completely taken off the table here at the minimum, which would mean S&P around 2100, 2200, and I think that's pretty strong support. So if that were to break, I'm not sure how the gold stocks would react to that, because there might be a lot more panic coming in, but we'll just have to wait and see. But so far, so good as far as gold being the safe haven trade as it historically is coming back into play here. It's nice to see climbing the wall of worry. It's nice to see a lot of green in our portfolios after seeing so much red while the stock market was going up. So, it's going to be an interesting 2019. That's for sure. I think it's going to continue to be volatile. I'm going to continue to hold at least a 10 to 15% cash position, because it's still a lot of things are up in the air here. But, as far as my junior stock buying, it's pretty much completed over the last few weeks of tax loss selling. So I've basically sown my seeds and hope to reap the rewards of 2019 here.
All right, let's wrap it up here, David, with some of what you share with your subscribers. I'm a subscriber. I read over your material every week, and, well, when you send out updates. I know that you have a top 10 stock list and a top 10 takeover targets, mostly focused in the junior companies. Which ones can you share with us, please, that you've already gotten your subscribers into, and some of the reasons why you like them?
Well, I really like Teranga Gold. They're a West African producer, and they recently merged with another company and obtained a really nice Burkina Faso property. And because of the problems in Burkina Faso recently, it's very much undervalued. Their growth is pretty much fully funded, and the stock is trading a lot less than its peers. And now with Barrick and Randgold merging, and African stocks not being as risky, I think, as far as the market is concerned, you know, that merger is now completed. And I think I wouldn't be surprised to see them being a takeover candidate in the distant future, as they've got some really nice high margin projects in Africa.
All right, there we have it for the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. David, it's great having you on the show. I very much enjoy reading over your newsletter on a very regular basis, and I highly recommend it to all of those people out there who are interested in junior resource stocks. It was another good week for the metals, even though we had a little bit of a sell-off on Friday. For how much the U.S. equity markets popped, I think we can all take away that this first week is continuing this uptrend for metals and shining a bit more positive light. We will need to see how the rest of this month plays out, but still, so much right now seems to be going in favor of the metals complex, especially precious metals, that hopefully this trend can continue and some of the better quality stocks will continue to get money flowing in. David, again, thank you for your time, everybody. I appreciate you listening in to the first hour. Please keep in touch by emailing me at fleck@kereport.com. A very happy new year to everybody listening.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.